This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
See, this is when I'll throw myself under the bus and I'll make sure that I have the right time because Kim McCusick always posts. So it could possibly be me. Joe, I could have given you the wrong time. I could have possibly given you the wrong time, Joe. You want me to check? Or you just want to roll with this? Let me check. No, check. Let's see. Kim McCusick.
By the way, while you're doing that, Hunter Green, pitcher for the Reds, as someone point out, he's that hard. He's the guy that throws like 103 miles an hour.
Black dude.
Oh, the new guy.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I got it right. It's not me. It's not me this time.
Yeah. Well, it appears that he feels like Ed and I do. We don't want to talk to you either, Rob.
So. Why you got to be mean to me all the time?
Because I'm heading into the weekend.
It hurts my feelings. I'm sorry. It does. It's hurt mean and hurtful. I don't see why you have the desire to hurt my feelings all the time.
Because you deserve it.
We need some counseling.
Couples counseling?
No, we're not a couple.
Well, it's two of us. It's a couple.
No, we're not a couple.
We didn't have a few counseling because Ed would be involved. If it's just me and you, it's a couples counseling.
No. I'm texting this to the person who texted it in. Hunter Green now. Yeah. Now, what you have not found is John David Morgan.
We don't need to talk about that.
That's what you haven't found.
With three names, he's probably a serial killer, which automatically makes him.
Why is that, Ed? Well, why do they always give the middle name on serial? Why?
Tell me why. I don't know why. They always do that.
I know why. Because they don't want the wrong people being a cop.
Like with Jerry Sandusky?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they give the middle name. They give you three names. So you can't get it confused with somebody else. Or you shouldn't be able to. That's why.
What was Jerry Sandusky's middle name?
I don't know.
It shouldn't have mattered. It's spelled differently.
Yeah. But
he got a lot of hate mail and stuff, you know.
I do find that really funny when people tag the wrong person on Twitter and start going at them. It happens all the
happens
time.
Happens a lot, yeah.
Like Paul Ryan was you want to talk about politics. That was a very... You know, a name that was used all over the place. So people were constantly tagging the wrong Paul Ryans and different. It's funny to me.
By the way, Texas says Hunter Green was adopted.
Maybe.
I'm just saying, yeah. It was the same agency as Michael Orr.
That's messed up. Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe that.
Big weekend for the Orioles down in Tampa. They need to take care of business.
Now, as an Oriole fan, are you only watching the Mariners and the AL East? Because realistically, do you think there's not two teams coming out of the Central, right? There's only one. So we don't need
Chicago White Sox are very hot. Chicago White Sox are very talented, and they still scare me. They do. They still scare me. We're not out of the woods with them yet. They could go on a run. This is enough time to go on a run to really get back in the picture. Ravens, I thought last night, I saw some things that I liked, especially on the offense. And I think this offense can be very dynamic if they handle it right. Joining us right now from filmstudybaltimore.com, he is Ken McCusick. Ken, defensive play last night, they played it straight up. Was there anybody that stood out to you last night or jumped onto your radar from the defensive side of the football?
Oh, for sure. Geno Stone, by far the defensive MVP of the game. He looked terrific. You know, obviously, he had the interception, pass breakup at the goal line, came streaking in to make a tackle on a run play for minus four. But he was just all over. He was too good to still be on the field at the end of that game with all the other players who were there, which is that's a great thing to see out of your fifth safety. Other than that, I'd say that got a really good game out of Malik Harrison. You know, much more good than bad. There was some bad in the game, but he certainly made some very good plays. And you know, it's his first playing time since week seven of last year. He's had one defensive snap that entire time. You know, apparently had lost the trust of the coaches, but that kind of a game will go a long way towards winning it back.
And what about the receiving core? I think Likely has been the talk of camp, and I thought he showed pretty well last night. Somebody who caught my attention was Raleigh Webb when I was out of camp. I thought he looked pretty good. And now with Wallace hurt, I think Prochet got hurt too. How does this look now as far as receivers?
Yeah, additional opportunity for those UDFA guys, that's for sure. And the group really made some nice balanced contributions. I would agree with what you said about Webb. He got a step on the defensive back, which was nice. That allowed for that beautiful touch pass to be thrown right into his hands. That was good.
Yeah, he's a 4.4 40 guy. He's fast.
Yeah. Malik Polk, who a lot of people like, made a really nice grab where he didn't show his hands to the defensive back until late. I really like that. So the cornerback had never found the ball in the air because he had his back turned. The Ravens had a number of catches under those circumstances, man coverage, and the cornerback hadn't turned back for the ball yet. But he was good in that he didn't show his hands until late, so that the cornerback didn't have a good opportunity to disrupt it, even though it was thrown right over his shoulder.
Hey, Ken, what about areas of concern? And it's a little difficult with starters not playing, but depth in areas. Anything that you see that worries you a little bit?
I'm not too worried, honestly, about the cornerbacks from what we saw, other than the guys who are our real cornerbacks need to get healthy. But they were playing without six of the top seven cornerbacks, and I'm including Brandon Stevens in that group. But Pepe Williams was really the only guy they had who figures to get any playing time this year. And he should be the starting slot. He played all over, slot corner, outside corner, and safety, even in the second half. So he was the Ravens' most versatile player. Outside linebacker, very serious concern, Jeremy. I mean, they played numbers 5 through 8, but we're really not sure about the health of two of them in terms of Ajabo and Bowser. We got claims about when they'll be back, but that's about it. Owe played one snap in this game. That was good. He shouldn't even been out there for one snap. Put on a great spin move. And then for his trouble, he got a help block from the left guard, which is a pretty good stick. And I think that they might have just decided to take him out at that point. And, of course, Justin Houston didn't play. So they have reinforcements coming, but I'm concerned about the depth there.
Ken McCusick, Film Study Baltimore. Ken, tell us all about the website.
Sure. Articles on the offense and defense with grading will be out today.
There you go. Ken, thanks a lot for your time this morning. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan. Are you a believer in the wall by now? We'll talk about that at 8:45. Put on the other side, it's Commissioner's Baltimore.
We're talking about the polarization of this country and how people overreact everything. Well, a guy in Cincinnati got himself killed doing exactly that.
Yep.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next right here on the Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for Commissioner's Baltimore on this sunny, fantastic First Responder Friday. What you got, Eddie?
Ah, boy. Eddie. This just gets crazier and crazier. A man yesterday in Cincinnati, armed, tried to breach the Cincinnati FBI head office. Apparently, his name is Ricky Schiffler. They're saying that they've identified him as Ricky Schiffler. His ties to extremist groups, including one that participated in the January 6th attack. So I don't know what the hell he was doing, but there's an account. Somebody with an account bearing his name, they won't say if it's his or not, but someone, either his or someone posting under his name, posted message on Trump's social media platform, recommended that, quote, patriots go to Florida and kill federal agents. And on Thursday, the same account appears to confess to attack on the FBI. And this happened, like I said, in Cincinnati, Ohio. And keep in mind, this attack comes 3 days after they served the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's home on the beach down there in Florida. And crazy, crazy stuff. He could not get into the FBI headquarters. He starts fleeing, heads north on Interstate 71. I have never been to Cincinnati. You have, so I don't know if you've been on 71, but he was riding on that road. Mm-hmm. He was spotted by a state trooper about 20 minutes after the incident. The trooper begins to chase him, comes under gunfire. Then they go through some rural country roads. They come to a stop near Interstate 71 overpass, and they exchange more gunfire. They try to negotiate with the man, then tried to subdue him with less than lethal ammunition. I've never, under any department policy, why would you try less lethal means if someone's shooting at you? Mm-hmm. You could have a more clear deadly physical force scenario, but that's whatever. Eventually, they open fire, and they kill him. So this is what we were talking about before. But what I'd like to point out is, you know, you think people are crazy, and they overreact to stuff. But there's something I didn't talk about earlier that I wanted to bring up now when we're discussing the documents and, you know, because it was getting heated and I feel like people's politics come into these things. But I don't know if people realize this, and this is why people are so ginned up over this last thing in Mar-a-Lago, is the judge that signed the warrant, he just recused himself. His name is Bruce Reinhart. He's the one that signed the warrant for Trump's house. A month ago, he recused himself from a case that Trump was involved in a lawsuit because he said he could not be impartial because of his hate for Trump.
Because of his hate? Because I read that this guy was a supporter of Trump.
No, he absolutely is not.
Reinhart
is absolutely not a supporter. In 2017, he posted an anti-Trump rant on his Facebook page, which was removed, but people took screen grabs of it.
Okay.
No. And he said, let's see here, he signed a search warrant. He said his objectivity could be called in question, so he couldn't hear the case with Trump. So and the problem is, you have, this is just more confusion. You believe he was a pro-Trump judge. I've heard and read that he's anti-Trump, had to recuse himself, and he posted.
That's the problem with news today.
That's the problem. And this is the issue I bring up, because in 2017, he posts his anti-Trump rant, takes it down, but people have it. And now he's the guy that signs the warrant. He should not have signed the warrant. If you're going to recuse yourself from a case with Trump, or even if you didn't and you had posted anti-Trump sentiments publicly as a judge, how could you possibly be the one? There's a lot of judges. Why are you the one to sign the warrant? So when people see this and hear this, you can understand why they start to get crazy and believe that there is a conspiracy where the government's out of control and they're just incredibly heavy-handed. And now they're starting to, you know, really use the federal agencies to go after people. But it's really like, I find this crazy that this is the guy that actually signed the warrant. I mean, when people read this, and think about this, if you're predisposed or you feel disenfranchised from the, you know, what's going on in this country now, when you see stuff like this, I mean, it's going to push you to do crazy stuff, you know, if you're so inclined. I mean, I'm not saying everyone's going to try to breach an FBI office, but it's certainly going to, you know, color your opinions and just... I don't remember ever, and I'm talking about some really, you know, polarizing political times. I can't remember one quite like this, where people just, you know, if you disagree, you're an idiot. They don't discuss. They don't even want to take things into account or, you know, weigh some kind of things like this. Like, you know, should this guy, you know, investigate a little bit? Is he anti-Trump? Did he post that on, you know, Facebook? Did he recuse himself from a case recently? Because he said he couldn't be, you know, his objectivity would be in question. They just react. And they react harshly to each other. I know people whose families don't talk to each other now.
Yeah.
Seriously. They just, because of political differences, they're not talking to their own family members. Like, this is not good.
It's an ugly time. Like, I joke about it all the time because of, you know, the conversations that we have. Even when we go out to lunch or whatever, or just sitting in here BSing about things, like, the problem with today is that both sides cannot talk. They both do stuff to screw over the other side. I mean, you can look at all the other things that are going on. We talked about the PACT Act, which finally got pushed through, and Jon Stewart was running around going nuts over it, right?
Yeah.
And how everybody voted for it. But then all of a sudden, nothing's changed in the bill. Right. Maybe things have changed in how business was done between the two sides, but nothing had changed in the bill, and then all of a sudden everybody voted against it. And you're like, well, what the hell happened? It has nothing to do with left, right. It had to do with, you know, former vets. And it's crazy.
Can I pause this for a second?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because we're talking about disenfranchised and people who feel like they're not treated correctly and unequal and mm-hmm. you can't blame them for doing something stupid. Are we going to act like it's okay for this guy to open fire on police officers and for them to use less than lethal? So then you had, this is why.
Who said it was okay?
No, hear me. This is why I can't help but say it. And I Google image this dude,
mm-hmm.
a white dude, who opens fire against law enforcement, but you use less than lethal on him. You've got tons right now of African Americans listening to this show thinking the same thing I'm thinking. This is a black dude he's killed on the spot. On the spot.
Well,
doubt about it. He's killed on the... How do you open fire on law enforcement and they retaliate by using less than lethal force?
But they didn't. That's what I'm so confused about. They had a gunfight first. And then they do this, and I'm with you. I don't understand that at all. What? Why? You know, at that point, they're in a negotiating stage, and I get that. But the guy has already fired at you, and you fired back live ammunition. Why would you go to less than lethal after that? Because you're negotiating now?
Insane.
It makes no sense
insane.
To me.
Insane.
Well, the other thing, too, is you had the left screaming defund the police for God knows how long, and now we have this situation happen at Mar-a-Lago, and now you got people on the right screaming defund the FBI, and it just goes back and forth. There's how's this end?
I don't know.
We destroy one another.
2024 is going to be such an interesting year when I don't know who the left is trotting out. We'll see what happens with the right, and if there is a disagreement over DeSantis, Trump, whoever it may be, I have no idea who's coming out who's going to be the guy for the left.
I don't either. I have no idea.
It can't, like,
can't be true. I mean, it can't be Biden.
No.
He's not going to be, you know, mm-mm. He's not here now, essentially.
Huh?
So it is, it's going to be, and even the midterm elections are going to be curious.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's all this posturing for the, whatever, Supreme Court, Congress, the House. It's just, fun times.
And that's Commissioner Baltimore. Thank you very much. Cordell Woodland joins us at 9:00, the bird watcher. But on the other side, are you more nervous watching the O's now? For example, will the next 6 games be some of the most anxious watching you've done in years? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Go O's! Right here on The Fan. And if you look at the Orioles' next 6 games, I don't recall a time going into the middle of August, Jeremy. I mean, I do recall a time, but it's been a long time, that I was actually nervous. Because games actually matter. Think about this. You got 3 games in Tampa and then 3 games in Toronto before coming home for 1 game against the Cubs and on to the Boston Red Sox in Chicago. So all of these games matter. They still have 7 games left against the Houston Astros as well. Keep that in mind. I don't think I've been this nervous about this time of the year as an Oriole fan since 2016. In fact, I know I haven't.
Yeah. All right.
It's been 6 years.
I get it. You know, you're coming into a series now with a team that lineup, again, getting healthier but still wanting against this Tampa Bay team. I don't think there's any fear here about playing them.
Not fear. Yeah. Nervous.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the players specifically. Like, you look at a situation where you're going to face what you deem to be a good team, and more than likely a lot of these games are going to be lower scoring. So it's going to come down to key situations, hitting with runners in scoring position, maybe even playing a little small ball at times. So I'm just interested to see how they attack this. But, I mean, it's good to see that Mountcastle swinging the bat a little bit better. And then we look at the top of the order and how they've been doing. You mentioned Santander's been on one. He's been really, really good. And now Hayes back. So, you know, just hopeful that we get to see them at least hang around here in September and make this thing really interesting.
And it's like when you were an athlete. You go into a game, you know you're prepared, you know you got everything you can do, and you're not scared of the opponent, but because it means so much, you're nervous. I'm not afraid of these other teams, but it hasn't meant this much this late in 6 years.
Absolutely. You still get butterflies. I know, and still pro athletes that puke before games, you know, and they know that they're good and their team's good, but you know it means a lot, and you know, there's always an anxiety, and, you know, when you're in football, it's until the first kickoff. Once kickoff happens, the first hit, that's it. You're done. You're good. But it's like that in every sport. So, yeah. And these games do matter. It's funny. You know, when they didn't matter, you weren't that really, I don't know.
You had a hard time engaging in the first place.
Yeah. But you didn't get upset if they lost. You were like, meh, okay. Now, I was pissed they lost last night.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have won that game.
Well, come on. You wanted us to pull back the curtain?
What?
Why were you really pissed they lost last night? Who did they lose to?
Yeah, the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oh, I can readily admit that.
That's
100%.
Let's pull back the curtain here a little bit.
Yep.
Losing to Tampa is one thing, but losing to the Red Sox?
Yep.
They could be 80 games back. I want them to beat the Red Sox.
I just do.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just, you know, they had a chance to be a half game in front, owning that third spot on their own, and now they're a half game back. And that's fine. You know, three games over the weekend. Jeremy, you look at this. You got Volpe versus Kluber. McClanahan is not the same McClanahan he was in the first half, period. Against Watkins, who at times could be pretty good. Then you got Lyles versus Rasmus. And I just – every time Lyles takes the mound, I feel like he got a chance to win. Every time that guy takes the mound.
Well, what do they say? As far as pitchers and hitters, they got two guys that are that rank in the top 60 in WAR. And one of them's Lyles, and the other one's Adley Rutschman right now. They're the only ones that are ranking the top 60 in WAR from a hitter's perspective and a pitching perspective, which makes it that much more amazing what they're doing right now currently.
Smoke and mirrors.
And also the lowest payroll in baseball?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to see what the other teams did and who they moved, but they're in that group if they're not the lowest. So it's really impressive and where they're at. So with Lyles, I think you trust him every time he goes out. But again, it's not like you're ever going to be on the plus side in starting pitching, that you're going to look at the matchup you have against other playoff teams and think that yours is better than theirs on a consistent basis. And it's just been a crazy year.
Urine and Theron?
Yeah.
So what?
Urine and Theron.
Yeah.
The old, who was that? That was
Phillips. Bob Phillips.
Bob Phillips. Yeah. Wade's dad.
That's the best thing that ever happened to Wade.
Mm-hmm.
410-583-1057. Ben and Wooster, what's up, Ben?
Hey, listen, guys. Thank God for sports, or I think we'd be at each other's throat. Mm-hmm. And Ed, this is for you specifically. About these other topics, I think you're an honorable and fair-minded guy. I just wanted to say that. And that doesn't say anything bad about the other two gentlemen there. I just think that, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Your last name's Norris?
Yeah. Yep.
And so about the game last night, I was at the game, and I thought Kramer pitched well, but he needs to scrap that what if he calls that a 12-6, I don't like his curveball. Anyways, that's for the pitching coach to decide. And one other thing about Terran Vavra, I think it's time that he makes that next step to maybe batting against lefties. Not a hard thrower like McClanahan, but maybe soft throwers at first. Because this kid, like I said last week, he is potentially our next 300 hitter. Listen, guys, have a great weekend and go O's.
It's interesting he says that about a curveball. And I just text... because what I remember and listening to the old game, he was failing with his cutter earlier. Giving up a ton of doubles. He was failing with the cutter. He went to his curveball to bail him out of trouble. And Ben McDonald even referenced that. It was the curveball that settled him down. He was getting destroyed. The cutter wasn't working. Cutter was flat. It wasn't working. It was easy to hit. He went to the curveball to settle down. And Ben couldn't stop talking about it. And I can hear Ben during the commercial breaks. And Ben was even talking about it during the commercial break about how the curveball settled him down.
Forgive me because I'm blanking on the player that Ben said. Ben or Kevin Brown said that they hit a home run off of off the curveball with Dean Kramer in a previous start.
Yes.
And then he didn't throw a curveball the rest of the game, which they found odd.
It didn't. And now, and last night, it was the curveball that got him back. It was not, I don't know, and Ben says he was at the game, so and I don't know if he thought he was watching the curveball with the cutter. I don't know, but the cutter got him in trouble last night.
See, you disagreed with Ben talking about throwing, you know, too many curveballs. Huh. I totally disagree with his honorable man thing with Ed Norris because I have no idea what that's about. And
you know, this is why I didn't touch on it, because when you're talking politics,
is it just you and I talking here?
The person that you side with is always the fair and honorable one, so there's no need to discuss that.
Oh, I mean, even talking politics. I was just saying in general. I've seen what this guy has done to other people. Fair and honorable.
You think that was bad? Watch this.
Yeah, but like I said, with the baseball, that's it's kind of backwards. Joe, did you watch the game, or were you watching more Ravens?
I watched from the fourth inning till the seventh inning.
What did you pick up on?
Ben and I talked about it off air. We strongly disagreed with the idea. I said that the curveball saved him.
Yeah, it did.
Ben said, no, that's incorrect. And I said, Ben, I'll look at the pitch tracker here. All of the hard hit balls, minus the one that went out to left field that Santander dove on and missed, that was a curveball.
Yes.
Everything else that got hit was a changeup, a slider, or a cutter.
You didn't argue with him about Ed being fair and honorable, or he didn't say anything to you off the air about it?
He did not.
Okay.
I love that guy.
He called you a PI, though, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, I was like, he's about 10 steps above that, but...
Can I ask a question?
What's that?
Where the hell did Vavra come from?
Oh, he was in the trade.
A Givens trade.
Givens trade, yeah.
Nevin.
I mean, yeah, he's been tearing it up in the minors.
Who was the other player that got back in the Vavra trade?
It was Nevin, Vavra, and Michael DeSore. Yeah.
All right, good luck with that.
Listen, yeah.
I don't want to, in all this time we've been talking about the minors, how good the minors have been, I haven't heard a peep about him.
Yeah, I mean, what's his name? Steve Molesky talked about him a lot, and so did.
But we haven't.
Paul Mancini. They talked about him on the show.
Yeah, but I think a lot of times when those names get brought up, I don't want to say you're dismissive of them because you're so excited to hear the top names,
right?
You know,
I guess because there's so many names that are rattling off, you don't really know who they are.
Like even when Bradish came up, we had all heard about Bradish, but he wasn't. I don't think he was in that group of like D.L. Hall, Grayson Rodriguez.
No,
but I like Bradish's makeup. I don't know that it ever fully comes together for him being a frontline starter, but I think he's got good stuff.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy, you put out some numbers yesterday. You sent them to us.
Yeah.
Very interesting numbers. Home runs and things like that. Dean Kramer, they showed some numbers on Dean Kramer yesterday, too, and the home runs and how that's come down as well. So a lot of you all out there did not like the wall. If you look at these numbers, I want to know if you're a believer in the wall now. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:47 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You know, the wall has been the topic of discussion, the left field wall for the Orioles. And even opposing players, Aaron Judge. When Aaron Judge says he doesn't like it, then you should love it. Trey Mancini said he didn't like it. Okay, well, other players... defensively, they like the wall, and offensively, no one else has really spoken out against the wall. They get it. No one's spoken out against it.
When Mike Elias said, we're going to build a wall and the AL East is going to pay for it, nobody believed him. And guess what? He was right.
He was right. Dean Kramer, let me give you some numbers for him. Dean Kramer last year, home runs per nine inning, almost three, 2.85 home runs per nine innings. This year, 0.94 home runs per nine innings. You threw out some numbers yesterday, Jeremy. After I threw you this, you threw out some other numbers.
Yeah, I mean, when you start looking at the numbers overall for with the wall, they've talked about the Orioles haven't lost anything as far as home runs. You look at their numbers, they're right on par with what they did last year before the wall was moved back. And ironically, opposing teams have. And the article that I was reading and some of the things that were posted by one of the writers for Baseball America, I just thought it was next level thinking because, you know, some people like the wall, some people don't. Some people wanted to see more offense, and it was kind of silly as moving back while you were in the ballpark. And I get all the thought process on it, but the way that they brought it up to me was so ingenious, talking about that the Orioles moved the wall back in a strategic way to make the games lower scoring, to keep an offense that's not as good as some of the other teams right. in your own division, to try to keep it on par. Lower scoring games means you have a better chance to win. And the reason I think that's next level thinking, whether you believe the numbers or you think it's bogus or whatever, is the fact that they have the lowest payroll. Here we sit with a pitching staff that's not great. I mean, it realistically, from the names, the numbers are saying that they're doing well. The bullpen, starters. But these aren't household names, and we keep asking about what happens if they get into the postseason. How do you match up with other teams? But, you know, they in this article, and even if you get to the timeline of it on Baseball America, where the thread, and they start going through everything, I just thought it was really impressive, and now you're starting to see some of the prospects come up. What happens when they actually start putting money into this team, and how does it look then?
And you look at it, you talk about, what's that theory again about lower scoring?
That lower scoring games, you have a better shot of winning those games than higher scoring games.
Okay, here's what we know. It's early in the season. You can say the ball's not flying out of the ballpark. They lost to Boston 3-1. They beat Boston 2-1 in 10 innings. They won another game 2-1. This is an Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Later on in the season, they lost to the Yankees, but it was 3-2 with a chance to win. They had an opportunity to win that game. They beat Tampa Bay, it's a kind of high scoring game, 7-6. But you look at some of these scores in these games, they were winning low scoring games. I look at the game against the Angels. They won 1-0. They beat Tampa, if you remember, in June, 1-0. Also beat them in the third game of that series to win the series 2-1. So they're holding these teams to a low total to do exactly what he said he wanted to do, have a chance to win.
And it's Travis Salchik from Baseball America, or The Score, excuse me, he's with The Score. I retweeted it if you want to check it out, but he said the Orioles had the worst home run differential at home from 2019 to 21, -94 homers. They were outscored on homers at Camden Yards last season by 87 runs. What do? They moved the wall, you know, moved it back, brought the wall up. He said the Orioles have turned over much of their roster. They've begun to welcome some homegrown talent, but they still have just one position player, Rutschman, and one pitcher, Lyles, in the top 50 of WAR, not top 60. They are still outmanned in the AL East. So what do? You try and make the game a lower scoring one, more random, moving the left wheel wall back 30 feet and raising it is the NBA NFL version of an underdog trying to reduce possessions in a game. Last season, opposing teams hit 275 and slugged 495 at Camden. This year, 249 and 381. And the only reason I bring this stuff up is because we all ask the questions like, well, a lot of us, we're like, it's silly. Why are we moving the wall back? And a lot of fans don't even like it. But one of the things we said is like, these guys are incredibly intelligent. There has to be some
exactly
forward thinking to it. Because from the outset, it doesn't make sense. Like, oh, you move the wall back, you have to hit it the same wall. But if you don't have as much talent, are you hitting it that far out?
It's funny. If you remember, that's what my argument was at the time. I was like, I don't understand it because everyone's facing the same wall. But I have faith in the front office because they did it for a reason. I just want an explanation. Yeah. And I said, that's an explanation.
Yeah, and I guess you need the data to prove it, though, too, because it just say this is why we're doing it.
The data comes afterwards.
Yeah,
right.
So you know what I mean?
You believe it forward, and the data comes afterwards. Well, Michael Lyles appeared on MLB Network, and he talked about another advantage of that left field wall.
We reconfigured the left field dimensions of Camden Yards, as everybody's seen, and that's really transformed the style of play in the ballpark, and I think it's going to make it a much more attractive destination for free agent pitchers going forward, which is huge for us because that's been a big problem for this franchise.
Yeah, big problem. So he believes with those numbers. Now, Jeremy, Ed, let's say you are a premier pitcher. You're going to be a free agent in 2023. And I come to you with these numbers. Look, Ed, I know in past, you know, it's a bandbox and you probably don't want to pitch here at Camden Yards. But look at these numbers. over the 22 and 23 season. We want 24 to be a season when you pitch here because we have 2 years of data to suggest it's no longer a problem.
Yeah. And I think,
and oh, by the way, we won those last two seasons.
That's going to be the, yeah. I think that's the real selling point because, as we've said before, the Yankees have a bandbox. They have no trouble getting anybody. If you win, people will come here. So I think they'll come. And if you have 2 years of data, you can still keep your stats intact and negotiate your contracts and all that stuff.
See, if I'm winning, I'm willing to pay, and I can prove to you that I'm the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in the American League East.
Yep.
Now I think I got a leg up on people like Tampa and maybe Boston because the Yankees are the Yankees. Some guys go to the Yankees just because they've always wanted to play for the Yankees. Let's be honest here. It's the most popular franchise in all of sports. I believe it's in all of sports. Better, more popular than the Cowboys and the Lakers and the Celtics. I think the Yankees are number one. So you all of a sudden you start getting a leg up on other teams because now you are the most pitcher-friendly ballpark in the AL East. I love it. From day one, I loved it. I didn't know. When you asked, you know, you put out the fact that both teams are hitting from there, my whole take was, I know Michael Elias and Sigma Dell don't do anything without data. They just don't. You know, whatever data they came up with, and sometimes you don't want to show your hand before it's proven because if it blows up, then, you know, maybe people lose faith in your way of going about
things.
Well,
they're not the ones that put it out, are they? Wasn't the team?
Somebody
else gathered.
That's what I mean. It's like they haven't even done. Because all I kept saying, I said the same to you did. These are smart guys. Well, I know they have a reason. I want to know what it is.
No, what I mean is, if you make sense, if you give like, well, we believe this, that, and that, and it fails, then maybe people start doubting some of your other things. So you just do it and hope it works.
You ever been somewhere like, I'll give you a couple of different, like karaoke, and you think you're a good singer, and then somebody gets up there, and then they just belt one out. You're like, damn, they're really good. Or what, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. You're looking at something like being in a room with really smart people. Like, you think you're an intelligent guy and you're in a room with some people and you're like, damn, man, I don't know anything compared to these cats. That's how I feel with Elias and Sigma Dell. Like, I feel like, look, I follow numbers. I'm crunching stats. I'm looking at algorithms. I really believe in this stuff in sports now where, like, I listened to Johnny Bench last night and he's like, I just want to talk baseball, not all this number stuff. Well, the number stuff's information and it can help you get better in certain areas. I still think there are guys that have a feel for the game and do things differently. But ultimately, I'm going to trust the math more than just trusting something else, you know, like this instinct that you may have. But when it came to Sigma Dell and Mike Elias moving the walls back, I remember saying that kind of the same thing Ed said, like, I don't really get it. But I know those guys are smart, and there has to be a reason why they did it. There has to be an underlying reason that puts it over the top that they're doing this.
Now, see, here's, in all fairness, this is my bias to it. I've been asking them to move the wall back for a decade. I wanted to move the wall for a decade. So finally doing it, having data is a plus for me. I've just seen too many opposing teams' home runs scrape the wall. In bad situations, in situations where the Orioles will lose a lead. So for me, just the fact, if they told me we just moved the wall back because we wanted to move the wall back, I would have applauded them because I wanted the wall moved back. And it's funny to me because I recall a lot of Oriole fans asking the same thing. So either they changed their minds when it was actually moved, or they were quiet. They weren't the ones talking. But I recall lots of people calling it a bandbox and that you needed to move the wall. The left field wall's too close. But when they actually move it, everybody wants to pump the brakes on it. So in all fairness, they did something I wanted to do in the first place. Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, Cordell Woodland joins us up next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.